in an ocean of sorrow as well as bliss. The first time I heard or I read that a Vaishnava's departure is also a sign of bliss, it had really confused me. We normally associate someone leaving his body with sorrow, with a kind of abyss or a gap, a big separation. And it is only when we understand Vaishnava culture that we come to know that there is actually no separation. Satsarup Maharaj writes in his Srila Prabhupada Leela Amrita that this was the moment Srila Prabhupada had prepared himself, he had prepared his followers. In fact, if you read the Leela Amrita, you will understand that some very simple moments, a lot of gloss, a lot of description is given to Prabhupada's preaching exploits, his interaction with either world leaders or with reporters. But the moment of his departure, Satsarup Maharaj is very concise, very brief. Especially he says, it is not like there was a big flash of light or some miracle happening when Prabhupada left his body and ascended to the realms of Krishna's kingdom. Because many of us are accustomed to having great mystics or great sadhus leave some kind of a mysticism in their departure. But in the case of Prabhupada's departure, devotees had made a palace for him in the hills of West Virginia. And Prabhupada's simple comment was, let us see which palace I go first. If Krishna calls me, I'll go to his palace. Or if he allows me to stay here, I will come to see your palace, which you have made for me. He also said, I will never die. I'll always live in my books. He said, those who chant, there will be no separation. In fact, there is some book, I don't know whether it has been published yet, about Srila Prabhupada's interactions, real interactions with devotees after his departure. So we are not just sitting here and lamenting. Of course, that also is a component of Vaishnav culture, that extreme lamentation is the loss of a chance to serve the physical vapu or the physical body of a great Vaishnav. And the bliss is in understanding that Prabhupada came down from Krishna's eternal pastimes and he has joined those pastimes again. And that's why we respectfully address Uttam Adhikari Vaishnavas as Nitya Leela Pravishta. Nitya Leela is Krishna's eternal pastime. Pravishta is somebody who has again entered. We are especially grateful to Srila Prabhupada to allow us at this very place where he had expressed his desire to go on a Govardhan Parikrama. That too in his last remaining days. So, acknowledging our great fortune in allowing to Krishna, in allowing us to express our gratitude, to Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful society of Vaishnavas, I would like to request devotees to come forward and make their offering. I would like to request His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu to kindly come forward and make his offering, while Bal Govind Prabhu from Pune kindly be ready.
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshadarin. I would like to share with you some thoughts which help me to better appreciate to some extent the significance of the contribution of Srila Prabhupada to the world at large. Generally, we always have this, I used to get this thought that what if the historical personalities that we read in the Bhagavatam were to come here today amongst our midst, if Narad Muni descended, what would he do? How would he deal with situation? How would he preach? If the Saptarishi Mandal were to descend, they would be like the GBC for the whole planet. How would they deal with the affliction, society which is afflicted with so much of calamities? But then the answer for this I got in Srila Prabhupada's book itself. Right at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, first chapter, fourth verse, after the three verses of Mangalacharan, the fourth verse begins with the sages of Naimisharanya sitting and deciding to have a sacrifice for a 1,000, continuous chain of sacrifices for 1,000 years. Naimishe Animisha Kshetre Rishayaha Shaunakadayaha Satram Swargaya Lokaya Sahasra Samamasata. So Naimishe, first of all, the sages selected a very strategic location to begin this sacrifice. Animisha Kshetre. So the Kshetra, the choosing of place is very important. Strategic places where with least effort you can get maximum benefit. That is a practical intelligence. So the sages of Naimisharanya chose a very strategic spot, Kshetra, Animisha Kshetra. And Satram means there's no one Yajman for this sacrifice. There are many, you know, just like we have 1 month Akhand Harinam. It's not that one person sits, does it for the whole month. They keep rotating. So a 1,000 year sacrifice, they decided, we are going to do it for 1,000 years. Fully confident that it will be continued. Satram Swargaya Lokaya. And it was meant for the satisfaction of the Lord and the devotees of the Lord. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada very beautifully mentions the sign of a rishi. Generally, the moment we have rishi, we have particular conception that comes in our mind. We have seen serial Ramayana and Mahabharata. So rishis means they have saffron cloth and matted hair and Rudraksha tied, and you know, with a very grave voice, "Hey Vats, kaho main kya kar sakta hoon." Real rishi is described by Srila Prabhupada by three characteristics, three very crucial characteristics. And by understanding it, we know who's a rishi. So the first thing is, he says, rishis are those who are extremely anxious to do welfare for the humanity at large. The genuine concern, a burning concern in the heart for the whole planet, for the whole world. Vasudeva Datta was thinking, sitting at one place, thinking that all the living entities in the whole creation, let their sufferings come on me, all their reactions, and let them all be delivered. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is quoted by Prabhupada in that, that how he was, you know, thousands of times more than even Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ took responsibility for those who actually surrendered to him. If you surrender, then I will take charge. Such a person will be delivered. But Vasudeva Datta Thakur is praying for all the living entities whom he knows or doesn't know. Everyone is ready to take. And secondly, one is only delivering from the sinful activities. Their reactions is taking. But Vasudeva Datta Thakur is taking their material existence to be finished and let them go back. Because otherwise, sinful reaction is taken, but they may commit sinful activities and roll in the mud again. Kunjara Shauchavat. So this is the first quality. Generally, people are concerned about their concentrated self or little extended self. But very few think about the welfare of the humanity at large, not just humanity, all the living entities at large. So that is the first qualification. The second qualification, he says, of a rishi is, well, they may be concerned. There may be many people who may have concern about the suffering humanity or suffering living entities. But even the greatest philosophers, scientists, scholars have absolutely no clue what to do about it, how to set things right. They have no understanding. While the rishis, not only are they concerned, but they have full knowledge of what is the solution to the problem. They are fully convinced of the solution to the problem. They have full conviction. By watering the root of the tree, every part of the tree will be nourished. And they know the root, and they know how to water the root. And you know, they know what is the watering process. That's why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said, there is only one problem in this world, lack of Krishna consciousness. And there is only one solution, and that is Krishna consciousness. And they know exactly what is the solution, how to apply it, how to spread it. So there may be some people who may be concerned and some people who may even know what is the solution. But even after having that concern and knowing, very few are ready to undergo any inconvenience, ready to forego any temptations, so many distractions, ready to take so much risk, ready to face any impediments, any obstacle. Nothing can stop them. So these are the three, just for easy remembrance, I put it as 3C formula. First is genuine concern. Next is complete conviction about the solution. And then extending because of compassion at all inconveniences and suffering. So we find in the life of Srila Prabhupada all these three. Sitting at Radha Damodar, just this morning I was reading a very beautiful gift given to me by one devotee in Delhi. This is Srila Prabhupada, a friend to all. This is pre-ISKCON days, before Prabhupada started ISKCON. From Calcutta days to Allahabad days to Radha Damodar days, then his Vanaprastha days. So many recollections from those who were his associates. Her Grace Moola Prakriti Mataji. She's no more, but she compiled this into a nice book, very beautifully done. So there we see, by reading that, the way one devotee is describing, was a small boy at that time, and he says he would see Prabhupada loudly crying in the night, shouting to Rupa Goswami, please give me your mercy, and brooming the whole area, Radha Damodar area. So here he was sitting in one particular place in Vrindavan, and he called it the center of the universe, no doubt. The sages of Naimisharanya chose Naimisharanya because Brahma contemplated a wheel, and the hub of the wheel was Naimisha. And by doing the activities there, sacrifice there, the demoniac influence all over the planet would be reduced. So strategic location. And later Srila Prabhupada, to preach, chose a very strategic location, which was the hub of all activity on this planet in the 60s, and that was America. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wanted his disciples to go to London, because London was the hub of activity at that time, pre-independence days, when British Raj was there. But in 60s, that hub shifted to America. Whatever American did, the whole world will do. So it's very interesting, Srila Prabhupada chose the hub of, the center of all activities to perform or to begin his sacrifice there. And Satram Swargaya Lokaya Sahasrasama. The sages began a 1,000-year sacrifice, fully confident that it will be continued. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada has begun a sacrifice. Next 10,000 years it will go. He started an international society. He was fully convinced when that police chief who came in New York or Los Angeles and asked Swamiji, what do we do for reducing crime rate in this city? He said, just give me a nice facility and give me some, you know, facility for cooking nice food, and everything will be solved. And he just couldn't connect or relate. That man said, no, Swamiji, I'm not asking about your institution. I'm talking about crime rate in this city. I said, yes, I'm talking about that itself. Give me a nice hall in the center of the city and give me some nice facility to cook nice food. I will just do Harinam and give them nice prasad. He said, the proof is this. Look at this. They were all hippies. I didn't pay them a single pie. They are just chanting and eating prasad, and we'll see what has happened. He was convinced. Government is spending so many millions of dollars on de-addicting these people. But I am not spending anything. I know what is the problem. The solution is here. So he was convinced. One time in Allahabad, he told one of his friends, I have discovered the solution for all the problems. He was dealing with drugs, medical drugs. So I have found a nice formula. So the friend thought he'll give some new medical formula. I said, no. Trinadapi suni chena tarori amanina manadena kirtaniya sadah. So this is the formula for solving all problems. Individually and collectively. And then the way he extended himself, the poverty that he posed, the inconveniences, the heart attacks. So this is the sage. Here is the sage. Here is the rishi. Feeling for the whole planet. Fully convinced of what is the solution for this whole planet. And extending himself to actually start a process of sacrifice that will last and actually save the world from the direction that it is moving. One time I was hearing about Agastya Rishi, very powerful sage, described, it seems like a timeless person. He is described in Ramayana, he is described in the Mahabharata also. So it is described, what are his contribution to this planet? The first thing was, his name is Agastya. Aga means mountain and Sthayate means he pressed down the mountain. Vindhya mountain at that time was competing with the Himalayas. And if the Vindhya mountain had grown, it would have divided Bharatvarsha into two. Because, you know, culture on the other side, they would have no communication and culture would have become different and it could become disunited. So just to unite the south and the north, he took a promise from the Vindhya and by his power, he actually subdued the Vindhya mountain and thus brought about the unity between the north and the south. That was his contribution, Agastya Muni's. The second contribution was, during the time of Parshuram, he annihilated the Kshatriyas. 21 times, there were practically no Kshatriyas, and therefore, the Brahminical culture was completely finished. So Agastya traveled all over the planet, in all the various countries, and brought about, he trained and created Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, a new breed. This was his contribution for the welfare of this planet. Thirdly, there were powerful demons who would finish Brahmanas. Ilvala was one of them. And he had a very unique technique. He would call Brahmanas for Shraddha. Every day he would celebrate Shraddha for his father. And his brother was Vatapi. And he would turn him into a goat and cut him into pieces, cook him and offer it to the Brahmanas. It was allowed in the previous times. In Kali Yuga it is not allowed. Palapaitrikam. Five things are not allowed. At that time they had the power to maintain their purity in spite of, they were able to digest this. So he would feed the Brahmanas. And as soon as they would take it, he would call for Vatapi to come. And Vatapi would burst their stomach and come out. In this way, he had killed thousands of Brahmanas. Agastya went there and he was invited. He said, yeah, he readily accepted the invitation. And he was fed sumptuously. It was actually Vatapi's meat, and he took it, and after some time Ilvala called out, Vatapi, come out. In a very dignified language, they say that he belched. But actually, Mahabharata says he tilted himself and flatulated so loudly that it was a rumbling of a cloud. And then he said, Vatapi Jirno Bhava. Vatapi has already been digested, he won't come out. And then he finished Ilvala also. So this was his third contribution. Powerful demons who were actually finishing Brahminical culture. The fourth was, he had a unique mantra. You know, there are particular trees from which they make, like this tadi, or even in Bangladesh when we went, they have tal, not tal actually, different other kind of dates. Before sunrise, if you take the extract of the tree, it's very nice, but after sunrise, it becomes liquor. So Agastya had, he would take this extract from the tree, which generally people use for liquor. He would store it in a leather bag and chant mantras. And within 40 days, that bag would contain pure nectar. This was his specialty. He would convert this liquor, what would otherwise become liquor by his potency of mantra, he would make it into a bag full of nectar. So I was reading this and I was thinking, that same rishi descended very recently in our own past, in our own midst. Srila Prabhupada was such a powerful rishi. How did he subdue the mountain? Agastya subdued the mountain and united the north and the south. But Srila Prabhupada, by establishing his international society, brought down not only Vindhya mountain, but all the other mountains on this planet. Because everyone has a mountainous ego. I am American, I am Indian, I am this, I am that. By subduing all these mountains, he brought out an international society and united practically the whole planet. So today we meet anyone from any different countries. We don't see as this person from this country, from that country. The effect of the mountain is, you know, the culture on the other side, they become alienated with the culture on the other side of the mountain. But by bringing down the mountainous ego, by giving pure spiritual knowledge, aham mameti, by removing that, he actually united the whole world through his international society. More powerful than Agastya Rishi, who subdued only one mountain. Agastya traveled all over the planet and created Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. Srila Prabhupada traveled all over the planet 14 times. And created not just Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, which would eventually happen. He created Vaishnavas. His dancing white elephants. And many are black elephants also. Many are brown elephants, pink elephants, yellow elephants. So many. So this was his contribution. He also subdued those demons who were trying to finish the Brahmanas, who are like leaders of society, visionary of society, like Vatapi and Ilvala. Srila Prabhupada, through presentation of his clear, simple, authorized and profound Krishna conscious philosophy, very easily, not just subdued, but devoured and digested all other philosophies which are anything less than pure devotional service or the conclusion of all philosophies. Anyone who reads this philosophy can easily be absolutely unaffected, easily destroy, can easily annihilate, can easily dismantle any other philosophies, atheistic philosophy, this philosophy, that philosophy. And that is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Balopiyad anugrahad tared nana matagraha vyapta siddhanta sagara. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, even a boy can easily defeat all other crocodile-like people in the ocean of all these kinds of philosophies and effortlessly cross over to the other side without getting affected by the crocodiles of these philosophies. So that is what Srila Prabhupada, by presenting it to the world, protected us from these demoniac kind of philosophies. Anything that is short of what is the essence, Vedaisya Sarvair Ahamavedyo. And also, he had this powerful mantra by which the leather bags, meaning the people who had consciousness which was like liquor, contaminated, by giving them this mantra, he could create nectar within their heart by giving Hari Namamrita, Hari Kathamrita. So in this way we find that what in the previous ages the powerful rishis did in a more mystical way, practically the same mystic power, seemingly in a very simple way, but very profound way, Srila Prabhupada actually made this possible. Actually, you can believe it. Yes, something happened because we see something has happened here. It can happen there too. Otherwise, it is so difficult to get people together. How was it possible to form an international, and at such a short time, at such an advanced age, with such conviction, going to a foreign land and speaking with such boldness, it is simply amazing. So one can understand his greatness simply by studying the books that he has given with a little more depth in discussion. So after understanding this, now to some extent at least, my appreciation for Srila Prabhupada as a very significant and unique contribution that he has made at the time when it is most needed. Prabhupada said, ISKCON will go down in history as having saved the world at a very crucial time. So we can see that this is the Rishi Tattva. This is the Rishi. The Rishi Parampara is still there. And the same potency is there. The same potency is available. Provided we have the eyes to see. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Radha Gopinath Prabhu. And before Bal Govind Prabhu begins his offering, I would like to request Vishakha Priya Mataji from Mumbai. Please be ready.
Hare Krishna. So I first of all express my heartfelt gratitude for getting this opportunity to glorify Srila Prabhupada, and I seek all of your blessings. I recently heard one very interesting insight in the life of Srila Prabhupada. In all of our spiritual life, we will be first tested for consistency, and then eventually we will be tested for humility. In the beginning, even to get up early in the morning, to chant daily our 16 rounds, to have regular study of scriptures, this consistency to maintain is such a big, tough job. And then, we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, how consistent he was in following the instruction of his spiritual master. He received the instruction in 1922, and he followed it throughout till 1977. Preach in English language, and print books, write and print books. And he was so consistent in following that instruction of his spiritual master. There is a chapter in Leelamrut, crying alone in wilderness. This is in Delhi when Prabhupada was trying to distribute Back to Godhead magazines, getting sunstrokes. not much support, Indians rejecting everything he had to say. And he survived through all that failure. Krishna gave him failure after failure after failure in family life, in certain relationships, in especially expectations from God brothers, eventually in establishing Jhansi, the League of Devotees. So many failures, and he knows business, everything collapsed. And still, Prabhupada was so undaunted in following the instruction of his Guru. Through all these failures that he was going through. And he was severely tested for consistency. And later on, Krishna gave Srila Prabhupada unprecedented success. And that success was so unimaginable, Srila Prabhupada himself says, that I couldn't believe what was being given to me in the form of success of this spreading of Krishna consciousness all over the world. I was pleasantly surprised, Prabhupada said. To his great surprise, he found that within a short span of time, Hare Krishna mantra was being chanted all over the globe. Thousands and millions of books in print. Thousands of dedicated followers of Vedic culture. And unbelievable preaching and spreading of Krishna culture all over the planet. And then, Krishna, through the life of Srila Prabhupada, is showing us how we will be tested for our humility when success comes. So when failure comes, consistency is the test. Do we continue doing what we are supposed to be doing? And when success comes, humility is the test. We see how much Prabhupada got so much worldwide glorification, appreciation. He got some of the biggest people on the planet as his disciples. George Harrison, Ambarish Prabhu, and so many others. Big politicians, thinkers, philosophers, heads of states becoming, you know, his disciples. And also, it went on to an extent where some of his own disciples started saying that Prabhupada is God. And we are not recognizing him as such, and we should give him his due credit. Now, if there are so many organizations we see around where people say, well, I don't say I am God, but they are saying it, so what can I do? But what was Prabhupada's reaction to that statement? He banished those people from ISKCON, saying that till your mind becomes purified of this impure, impersonalistic philosophy, you can't enter ISKCON. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada stood the test of humility at every level in his life. So, the first prayer I want to make today to Srila Prabhupada is that I may remain consistent in my devotional service and also humble with what a little success is awarded, which is not our personal success. It is actually the mercy that is coming in our life for the efforts that others are making around us. Now, I would like to mention two verses that I recently came across which have haunted me. They are not from necessarily Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, but they are from Niti Shastras. Prabhupada used to often quote Chanakya's Niti Shastra, etc. I had learned these verses in the childhood, but they suddenly became alive, recent past. Pibanti nadya swayameva nambha, swayam nakhadanti falani vrukshaha, nadanti sasyam khaluvari vaha, paropakaraya satam vibhutayaha. Pibanti nadyaha swayameva nambhaha. Rivers have so much water in them. Brahmaputra, Ganga, Mahanadi, how much water they carry. But not a drop of that water they drink themselves. They give it all away. Pibanti nadyaha swayameva nambhaha. Swayam na khadanti phalani vrukshaha. Trees produce so many fruits. Mango, chiku, guava. Not one fruit the tree eats himself. It gives all of it away. That too, phukat, as we call it. They don't charge. Phukat khao. Just enjoy. Take it away. Swayam na khadanti phalani vrukshaha. నాదంతి సస్యం ఖలు వారి వాహ క్లౌడ్స్ వారి వాహ వాటర్ ట్యాంకర్ దే పోర్ అండ్ త్రూ ద పర్జన్యాత్ అన్న సంభవ దే ప్రొడ్యూస్ గ్రెయిన్స్ సో సస్యం మీన్స్ గ్రెయిన్స్ ఇన్ ద ఫీల్డ్స్ న ఆదంతి సస్యం ఖలు వారి వాహ క్లౌడ్స్ డోంట్ క్లెయిమ్ ప్రొప్రైటర్షిప్ ఓవర్ ద గ్రెయిన్స్ దే ప్రొడ్యూస్ ఇన్ ద ఫీల్డ్స్ దే ఆల్సో గివ్ ఇట్ ఆల్ అవే ఫుకట్ పరోపకారాయ సతాం విభూతయ అండ్ నౌ కమ్స్ ద కన్క్లూజన్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ సిమిలర్లీ సతాం గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ లైక్ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్ వాట్ ఎవర్ విభూతీస్ ఆర్ గివన్ టు దెమ్ బై కృష్ణ విభూతి మీన్స్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్సలెన్సెస్ వి ఆల్ ఆర్ ఎక్సలెంట్ యాట్ సంథింగ్ we have natural capacities talents resources energies given invested in us by krishna they are called as vibhutis those vibhutis don't belong to us they belong to krishna that's why in the 10th chapter vibhuti yoga krishna is telling whenever you see anything opulent splendorous wonderful around you know that to be me and thus remember me so vibhutayah the excellences given to a devotee what does he use them for generally our tendency is if we have some excellence in our life we want to do two things we want to impress others to become boastful and proud and we want to enjoy sense gratification through them but instead of doing these two things paropakaraya satam vibhutayah devotees of the lord whatever they possess they give it all away in the service of others simply to elevate them in krishna consciousness the real paropakara so I was just sitting and making a list of various talents or skills that Prabhupada had I noted 33 including music preaching counseling management whatever necessary talents for a devotee to preach effectively in this world you know even accounting resource management whatever else and he used every single thing that he had in his possession fully in the service of others and this is why Srila Prabhupada is a very amazing acharya very exemplary role model for every one of us how to live by this kind of instructions in the scriptures so I want to make a second prayer to Srila Prabhupada that in my life whatever capacities talents and resources I have been given may I not use them for self aggrandizement but may I use them in the service of devotees around and especially in the service of the non iskon world around and the last thing that I want to speak today about is in the second verse which has haunted me amantram naaksharam asti nasti moolam anaushadham ayogyah purushah nasti yojakastatra durlabah it says amantram naaksharam asti there is no alphabet in sanskrit akshara from which you can't produce a mantra which will send you back to spiritual world liberating you from all suffering of this material world that is how sanskrit is as a language a mantram na aksharam asti nasti moolam anaushadham there is no root from which you can't produce a medicine in ayurveda nasti moolam anaushadham and ayogyah purushah nasti no person in this world is as we sometimes stamp good for nothing fellow ayogya unqualified reject gone case so ayogyah purushah nasti there is nobody in this creation who is unfit but what is the difficulty in doing these three things yojakah tatra durlabah an organizer is difficult to get one who can organize the alphabets in the form of a mantra root in the form of a medicine, or unqualified people giving them qualification to make them fit for some service. That yojaka, organizer, is very difficult to get. Prabhupada, when he was in Juhu, in the middle of the night, 1:30, he rang his bell for his personal servant. That time it was Giriraj Maharaj, Giriraj Das Brahmachari. So he came in the room of Srila Prabhupada, half asleep, offered obeisances, got up. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, how can I serve you? And Prabhupada looked at him very gravely and asked, so how will ISKCON grow? And 1:30 in the night, somebody is woken up from sleep and he's asked this question, what will be his reply? He said, Prabhupada, I do not know, you tell. By organization and intelligence, Prabhupada said. Now you can go back. And then he left again. So, Prabhupada had such a genius. Now think of this verse in this light. Prabhupada used a Mlecha language, which is a third class language, 10th class language called English. I'm sorry, I'm speaking in it. But as we say, we use a thorn to take out another thorn. So Prabhupada used English, which is good for nothing language, when it comes to experiencing or explaining Vedic terminologies. And Prabhupada used this language and he wrote wonderful literatures. By reading those literatures, anybody on this planet can be delivered back home, back to Godhead. So that is the potency of utilizing some aksharas, alphabets. Of course, English alphabets are not akshara. They are not imperishable. They are perishable. Sanskrit aksharas are akshara. They don't die. They eternally remain. So, but in Prabhupada's case, he can use even English, which is a gone case language, in the service of everyone to make them fit for going back to spiritual world. Mantra, that which delivers the mind from clutter and fixes it on Krishna, is called mantra. Nasti moolam anaushadham. Prabhupada was not only an expert physician, a medical man who knew how to use various medicines for all kinds of ailments that his disciples would have. Sometimes Prabhupada would actually prescribe for them, do this as a medicine. But he also had this ability to find out the nature of a person, swabhava, which is the cause of his disease, and engage that very same swabhava in a transformed way to give him liberation from this world. It had its medicinal effect. Like Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, na buddhi bhedam janayet adnyanam karma sanginam joshayet sarva karmani vidvan yukta samacharan. That the enlightened person should not disrupt the faith or the intelligence of the fruitive workers. Rather, engage them in all sorts of activities so that they ultimately attain liberation from this world. And there are so many innumerable examples of this in Srila Prabhupada's lives, where he engaged propensities of people which were weird in such a way that they got cured in their consciousness. In that video, your ever well wisher, who is that professor who makes this comment? He is making this comment. Prabhupada had these disciples who had all kinds of weird habits, but he had this amazing ability to empower them to do great things. It is said somebody could even lit up a matchstick kind of candle. He would be made the Maharashtra State Electricity Board Director in ISKCON. So one fellow came, Prabhupada asked him, do you have any experience with magazines? And he said, none, except reading some. That too once in a while. No problem, you are the publisher, printer, editor, everything of our Back to Godhead magazine. That much is sufficient qualification to do service here. And this is how people started in our movement, and they did wonders eventually. So I have this personal problem where I generally focus on faults of others more than their good qualities. and then it becomes difficult to engage them properly in service. But this is Prabhupada. He can turn weirdness into curedness through his expert medical treatment abilities on consciousness of people. Nasti moolam anaushadham. And ayogyaha purushaha nasti. Hippies in those days were considered the reject lot of the society. Parents had rejected them, educationists rejected them, government rejected them, all philosophers, thinkers, everybody on the planet, they rejected them. They were stamped as good for nothing, gone case, by everybody in the American civilization. And Prabhupada picked up people from this lot. And he made them into acharyas, preaching the sublime message of Bhagavatam all over the world. And it is not that only hippies existed then there. Just like asuras exist all the time in the heart, so the hippie tendencies are there in our hearts also. So Prabhupada has this amazing ability to make unqualified people become very qualified and get some good work done through them in the service of the Lord and in the service of mankind. So thinking of his qualities, which are innumerable, certainly our heart will swell up in joy, gratitude and affection for him. But in conclusion, I want to mention, yesterday when Maharaj was telling about the pastime of Lord Krishna, in order to fulfill the desire of Srimati Radharani to make a pastime place for themselves, which is excellent. He had the seed of affection for her in his heart, which he sowed on the ground and made it into a huge mountain called Govardhan. So I was thinking at that time, Srila Prabhupada also, his essence of devotion for Krishna that he has in his heart, I think there were two seeds, one is BBT, another is ISKCON. And he has sown them in the infertile soil of material world, and he has made that grow into such a huge organization offering shelter, education, inspiration, facility to how many countless number of people on this planet. In that context, I would like to say that ISKCON is also like Govardhan, which provides for every single necessities for the pastimes of the Lord and every single necessity of a devotee who wants to render service for the Lord. And this is an amazing contribution of Srila Prabhupada. So I pray to Sri Giriraj Govardhan and also to Srila Prabhupada that in the same mood of consistency, humility, selfless sacrifice and organizational as well as practical know-how of how to do service properly, may we all become empowered to do some service by which Srila Prabhupada may become pleased. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Balgovind Prabhu. Is Vishakha Priya Mataji ready there? I'd like to request Vishwaroop Prabhu. Yes, now. Meanwhile, Radhika Vallabh Prabhu, please be ready.
Hare Krishna. I remember Srila Prabhupada's days in Radha Damodar temple, because the Goswamis are good friends with us. Prabhupada was invited to stay in Damodar temple from Vansi Gopal temple. That is near the bank of Jamuna, where another friend of mine owns that place now. So he was requested from there to go to Damodar temple. And he was given two rooms, one in the kitchen room and one was the writing room. And the Goswamis, who are now elderly, they were very young men there. So they used to tell us that Prabhupada, they would keep lunch prasadam at the door of Prabhupada's writing room. And many times it would remain there till late evening, till the Shayan Darshan. Prabhupada was so much absorbed in writing his purports, Bhaktivedanta purports, which he called as his ecstasies, spiritual ecstasies. And he was really, really absorbed in writing those that he would forget eating and drinking and everything else. So much effort Prabhupada put into writing these books. And in the end, at about 8:30, 9 o'clock, Prabhupada would come out and see the lunch there in the outside. Then he would go to the Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami, and with tears in eyes, he would sweep the floor in front of the Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami. Many other friends at Lohi Bazaar tell us that Prabhupada would sometimes come there to do Madhukuri also from those shopkeepers. Little that they knew that this person will make us millionaires. Vrindavan was a very small township, and Lohi Bazaar was almost unknown to anybody beyond Mathura. And people would do some 200-300 rupees business per day. Now I know for sure some of them do crores of rupees business every single day. What to speak of month? And I know so many of them have built palatial houses, from hutments to palatial houses in front of so many temples, in the prime locations of Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada was actually coming to them as a sadhu beggar for some rotis, but he made them into millionaires and billionaires. Actually, he uplifted Sri Vrindavan not only primarily spiritually, but also from all points of view. Today, if you go to Lohi Bazaar, every shop has Prabhupada's Hare Krishna dhun being played there, and every shop has Prabhupada's big picture there, and they greet you as if they are disciples of Prabhupada, to make you feel homely. To such an extent that one of our friends, Alok, who is the son of Ras Bihari Lal, he has started a publishing institution. What is it called? Publisher. They become publisher. And so much Prabhupada's disciples were so much scholarly that for entire Prabhupada disciples, he has opened one publishing company called Ras Bihari Lal and Sons. And so many of Prabhupada's stalwart disciples translated so many of scriptures with one faith that the shopkeeper had, that Prabhupada's disciples will not do any cheating. They are bona fide, genuine and true followers of Vedic culture and life. So we feel so proud when we go around Lohi Bazaar to see that so many shopkeepers have grown from which place to which place. And they really appreciate Prabhupada. And actually, finally, Prabhupada left from Vrindavan to actually go to West. So many of sadhu friends of his and so many other Brijvasis are saying, what kind of sadhu is he? He's come here at the fag end of his life, and now life is progressing to more older age, and he's leaving Vrindavan and going to some place which is 10,000 miles away, 7 oceans away, which any wise Hindu sadhu will never do. Why is he going? He's not a very proper sadhu. But then Prabhupada went around the world 14 times, made 108 temples, so many disciples, and printed so many books and distributed them, and spread the Hare Krishna movement as wildfire, and he came back to Vrindavan. And he stayed there for last few months. He didn't eat or drink for last couple of months. And amazingly, we see that film, The Last Days of Prabhupada, that he has simply bone and skin, no flesh on that. He has hardly any power to move his finger also. Even eyebrow, eyelid also. But he's still translating the Brahma Sammohan Leela, and the disciples of Prabhupada are holding dictaphone and he's translating. How much one can extend himself? Like we see also, Gurudev also, till the last drop of energy is not squeezed, he doesn't feel satisfied that he has served devotees enough. Srila Prabhupada was counting his last breaths. Still he was translating and translating and translating. That is the example of an acharya. And then when he passed away, all those Brijvasis who were criticizing him in one sense, they actually glorified him that he is a true Brijvasi. He may be from Calcutta, but a true Brijvasi spirit he had inculcated. That true Brijvasi spirit he carried with him. That true spirit of Brijvasi he spread around in the world. People were not knowing K of Krishna in the world. He made them Krishna conscious. He made them first class Vaishnavas. And today so many of them has become gurus. One reporter asked him, what is your miracle? He pointed out to some brahmacharis. So this is my miracle. From hippies to happies. From lectures in Yavana's condition They have come to first class Brahminical situation. I went abroad 2007 to USA. So happy to see so many of multicolored people doing deity worship wearing Brahmin thread. No, dark South Africans, yellow Chinese and Oriental people, and white Americans and English people and European people. Everybody on the altar already have gone through all the process of chanting Hare Krishna for so many years, achieving first initiation, then qualifying for second initiation, then getting trained for deity worship and worshipping deities in the main important centers of ISKCON all over the world. It's a miracle, actually. Such transformation is not seen anywhere. Many people are taking out ashes from the sky and so many miracles and watches. But who has the potential to convert hearts from Yavan consciousness to Krishna consciousness? That is Srila Prabhupada. One miracle definitely I want to like to share with you. When I went to Vatsaka Avenue, Los Angeles temple, I met many devotees, many disciples of Prabhupada, who showed me their gallery where actually Prabhupada was seen floating in the sky, that is levitating. I confirmed with so many disciples of Prabhupada. At the same time, in the Los Angeles temple, you know, like every other temple, there were so many parents who were very upset with Prabhupada and ISKCON movement because their sons had left home, and anyway they had left home by hippies, but now they are very upset that they joined Hare Krishnas. So what Prabhupada did was, Prabhupada in Los Angeles arranged a meeting with parents of devotees who have joined full time. And many ladies and many men had gone, and Prabhupada talked to them very nicely and had a nice lecture, interaction. In the end, many parents were crying in a grateful heart, with grateful heart. And one mother rose, whom I met, she was 93 at that time. Now she must be 101, if she is still alive, I hope so. So mother rose, what Prabhupada did, Prabhupada applied tilak to many of them who were willing to do so. So she also went and put tilak. Prabhupada put tilak to her. And she said, I went back home and I washed my face, but there was one blue dot which was not there before, which was there. So I thought it must be part of tilak. And she went on scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing. Till today, the blue dot is still there on her forehead. I've taken her pictures close by. And I was asking, Mataji, what do you think this blue dot is? She said, maybe this is Krishna. So the Prabhupada's mercy, Krishna imprinted, Prabhupada imprinted Krishna on my forehead. And there is still beautiful blue dot, which was never there before. So, another thing which impresses me always is that when Prabhupada actually went out and preached and came back to India, even today also, but in those days, today we don't meet so many Mayavadis who are confronting us and arguing with us. But in those days, Mayavad was like very, 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 very powerful. Even in my caste also, or whatever I know, other caste, the gurus are always impersonalist by default. In the kingdom, in the ocean of Mayavadis, how Prabhupada established personalism? How Prabhupada established the personality of Godhead, the supreme personality of Godhead as a person, and how he preached so boldly. And these Mayavadis are very dangerous people also. Sometimes they also threat your life, and you know, threaten your life also. Prabhupada was so bold, so convinced, and so straightforward and so pure that today, even you know, the one year daughter of Saraswati Mataji also, she would say, Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead. He made it so simple to understand God as a supreme person. So on this auspicious day, we feel so much of gratitude. Prabhupada underwent so much trouble he went through. 1 year, 1.5 year of staying in the freezing cold with no company, with no support, with health problems, with old age. So much he went through. So much of nonsense which people did to him. Finally, they became devotees, but so much nonsense of them he had to undergo and tolerate. One of the Udupi gurus mentioned one time that in our sampradaya, Udupi sampradaya, Madhva sampradaya, which is also our parent sampradaya, they have a rule that anybody becomes sannyasi or they have to save themselves by cordoning 1 meter area around them. No, it's been 3 feet, more than 3 feet. People have to cordon them and they will not be touched by anybody else. India, in India, I'm not talking about abroad. In India, they have to be always cordoned by people in trains or wherever they go. That is their rule. Because they feel that if you come in even contact with people, even in 1 meter territory, you get affected by their karma. And he was explaining that, and then he said that Prabhupada, we don't know how he went abroad and how he maintained his purity and how he maintained his sanctity and how he maintained still preaching zeal and how he still had the potency to convert people into Krishna consciousness. We stay in India, we are not supposed to cross the ocean to keep our sanctity, to save ourselves. But this person went all the way over 7 seas, mixed with all Yavanas and Mlechchas and all kinds of so-called degraded people, and didn't get affected himself, but affected others' hearts and converted them. So this is Prabhupada. Definitely he risked his own life for making them devotees, but he was totally empowered and a true world acharya. That is why these oceans and 1 meter cordoning, nothing affected him. He just converted everybody. Whoever met him, we see amazing when Prabhupada disciples, when we meet and we speak to them in person, they are so much of effect they have in their heart of Prabhupada's personality. How much they glorify him, how much they miss him, how much they still live with him in memories. We can see amazingly how Prabhupada had the ability to touch hearts of people and convert them. And after so many years, Srila Prabhupada left in 77, and the movement has actually grown 5 times more after departure of Srila Prabhupada. 108 temples and he departed, and today we have over 600 temples all over the world. Some people say 500, but nonetheless, it's definitely 5 times more. So his Brihat Mridanga, the same spirit which Bhakti Siddhanta had inherited, he also carried on the legacy of fearlessness, going out with great zeal, with tolerance and with desire to give Krishna to others. Amazing potency Prabhupada had. And today we are standing here, staying under the bottom hill of Sri Gvidi Govardhan by his mercy, because he has gone through so much. Wherever he went, he made miracles. Again, he purchased Jhu land. People said, why are you purchasing Jhu? Bombay ends in Dadar, at the most Bandra. Who will go? There are tigers in Jhu. It's all forest. But today, Jhu is the posh, most posh locality of India, where all celebrities stay. Because Prabhupada went there. Even in Pramandrethi also, many of you may not be knowing, from the temple that we have today, you further go to down to Banke Bihari, down the road, there's something called Vidyapet Chauraha. That was the Vrindavan actually. And beyond that was thick forest. And from that area to Radhakund, about 30 kilometers, sun ray would not reach the ground. So many trees were there in those days. And Prabhupada bought a land about 1 kilometer, 1.5 kilometers away from that place, within the jungle. And people were saying, tigers come there. Tigers were coming to Vidyapet Chaura also in those days, in 1970, 70, 71. And today, you see how things have developed. Everything is clustered around that. So many colonies, so many devotees, so many thousands of devotees have established themselves. This is Prabhupada. Wherever today also, in Prabhupada's name, institution comes, people know that these people are capable and they can do things and get things done. If you are in ISKCON, people have faith outside that things can be done in this institution in a systematic way and they will do things. This is Prabhupada's reputation. So we all have to be very, very grateful to Prabhupada, because he has undergone so much to give us such experiences in Krishna consciousness. And I remember that when I went to temple for the first time, I was ashamed, I was put to shame to see a white-skinned foreigner brahmachari giving Bhagavad Gita class to us. And I had the pride that I am from a Gaud Saraswat Brahmin family from South India. Today I know that Rupa Goswami also hailed from that family of the caste. I was so much put to shame that here is a person who is highly educated, highly qualified, but given up everything to teach Bhagavad Gita to people like me. And that has actually inspired me to become a devotee actually, to come into Krishna consciousness. So we are unlimitedly grateful to Prabhupada by his mercy, by his potency, by his kindness. Our lives have changed, otherwise we don't know what we would have been. So thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Because of your mercy, we have Bhaktivedanta Hospital now. We have Bhaktivedanta Hospice. And we have Bhaktivedanta Eye Hospital in Barsana. Amazing thing. Nobody knows how things are happening. But gradually, each and every things are they are getting manifested. And so many more and more qualified people are getting engaged and changing their lifestyle and inspiring people to become Krishna conscious. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Vishwaroop Prabhu. And before Radhika Vallabh Prabhu makes his offering, I would like to request His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, please be ready.
Hare Krishna. So I'm very grateful for this opportunity to glorify Srila Prabhupada in front of the devotees of Srila Prabhupada. So there is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 3rd canto which came to my mind, in which Vidura is telling to Maitreya Rishi, Shrutasya Pumsam Suchira Shramasya Nanvanjasa Suribiriditortha Tattad Gunanu Shravanam Mukunda Padaravinda Hridayeshu Yesham. Wherein Vidura is telling to Maitreya Rishi, the goal of a person who is engaged in hearing the scriptures for a long time is to actually hear about the devotees of the Lord. And this is actually confirmed by great devotees. So we see that we have been engaged in hearing Krishna's pastime, hearing from the scriptures for a long time, for the past 7-8 days. But ultimately, in one sense, we have actually come to the goal of hearing these pastimes to hear about the devotees of the Lord. So today we are going to hear about Srila Prabhupada from different devotees. And I just want to glorify Srila Prabhupada by comparing, by talking about Prabhupada's qualities in comparison with other qualities exhibited by some personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 6th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see this episode of Vritrasura fighting with the demigods. When the demigods, when Indra got this Vajrayuda made from the bones of Dadichi Muni, and when he came to fight with the demons, he was so effulgent. Just by seeing the effulgence of the demigods, the demons became afraid. So Vritrasura was actually heading the commander-in-chief of all the demons. And all the demons, they became so afraid, and just by seeing the demigods, they actually started fleeing from the battlefield. So at that time, Vritrasura was actually alone in the battlefield. And then Sukadeva Goswami describes that time this great-minded Vritrasura, he spoke some words which were appreciated by thoughtful people. You see that when a leader, when his own men actually abandon the leader, when they actually leave the leader, and then a person actually becomes demoralized, and many times he cannot, he becomes depressed, and he cannot speak something which can actually inspire others, because his own men has actually left him. So similarly here, comparing Vritrasura with Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, before going to the West, he actually experienced so many difficulties from his own countrymen. He was trying to preach Krishna consciousness. He was trying to give Krishna consciousness to his own men, his own countrymen. But hardly he got any support. In fact, what to speak of his own countrymen, he did not get much support even from his own other god brothers. So at that time, Prabhupada actually wrote this purports, especially the first canto and the second canto purports, when he was going through these initial struggles in the United States. And especially we see, I feel that out of all the purports of Srila Prabhupada, especially the purports in the first canto and the second canto, they are so special. And we can see that some of those purports are like so inspiring. And we can see on those purports are written by Srila Prabhupada when he was actually abandoned by his own men. So in this way, Prabhupada exhibited this quality of Vritrasura. And another quality, comparing Srila Prabhupada with the four Kumaras, in the fourth canto, when Prithu Maharaj was actually giving instruction to his citizens, the four Kumaras, they actually arrive in that assembly. It is described that seeing the four Kumaras who are so effulgent, all the Prithu Maharaj and his citizens, they went to actually welcome the four Kumaras. So four Kumaras were actually called by the word Siddheshwaran, the masters of mystic power. So Prabhupada writes in that purport that these four Kumaras, they actually came from the Siddhaloka planet. And the Siddhaloka planet, they have different mystic powers. But then he mentions, but the special power of the four Kumaras is not the mystic powers which the people have in the Siddhaloka, but the special power is that they can convert any place into a sinless place. Whatever place they visit, that place becomes converted into sinless. That place becomes sinless. So when I was reading this purport a few years back, one incident I was able to relate with this purport. Like there were some devotees who were actually making a plan to go on a pilgrimage tour to the West. To pilgrimage tour to the America. So usually when a traditional Smartha Brahmana, when he hears that somebody going on a pilgrimage tour to America, one will get confused. Has he gone mad? So, but here, these devotees, they were going on a pilgrimage tour to 26 Second Avenue, to San Francisco, to other places, to the places where Srila Prabhupada actually spent his time. Because those places, because of being visited by Srila Prabhupada, those places were converted into sinless places. Just like the four Kumaras converted any place into sinless place, Srila Prabhupada converted even a crematorium into a sinless place. He converted a laundromat into a temple, and he converted the Bowery into actually a sinless place. And the same episode of the Prithu Maharaj with the four Kumaras. After the four Kumaras, they actually instruct Prithu Maharaj. It is described that the four Kumaras were actually about to leave. And when they were actually about to leave, there is a verse which says that even the common citizens of Prithu Maharaj, they were able to actually hear, they were able to take darshan of the four Kumaras, and they were also able to hear from the four Kumaras. The instructions which the four Kumaras spoke to Prithu Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport that actually normally the four Kumaras would not be actually visible to common people. And they appeared in order to give their association to Prithu Maharaj according to the prediction of Lord Vishnu. But the common citizens, they didn't have any qualification to actually meet the four Kumaras. Only Prithu Maharaj had the qualification to meet the four Kumaras. But the qualification of the common citizens was that they were actually related with Prithu Maharaj. So because of that, they were also able to actually take darshan of the four Kumaras, and they were also able to hear from the four Kumaras. So similarly, I was thinking that like now, if we go to any ISKCON temple, there are so many books available. Apart from Srila Prabhupada's books, we have commentaries by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. We have Shad Sandarbhas. We have books by Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. So many books are available. And we have access to so many books. And we may read all these books, but actually, we don't have any qualification to read these books. We don't have actually any qualification to understand what is there in the books. But still, we are able to read and understand these books, not because we had some qualification, because we actually developed that qualification by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Just like the citizens, they didn't have any qualification to meet the four Kumaras. We didn't have any qualification to read the books of the previous Acharyas. But because of the qualification which we acquired by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we were able to actually appreciate the works of the previous Acharyas. And another thing was that Prabhupada, like the 10th canto, Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he wants to perform the Rajasya sacrifice, it was described that Yudhishthira Maharaj was actually with Krishna. Krishna was actually personally with Yudhishthira Maharaj, but Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking that he was saying that actually I'm pained by the situation of the people in this world. Although I'm actually with you, but my heart is being pained by the arrows of people who actually misunderstand you as an ordinary person. So many ordinary people consider you as an ordinary human being. So I want to perform this Rajasya sacrifice, and I want to show to the world. He says the word pradarshaya. I want to show to the world that how by worshipping you, one can actually attain material prosperity and one can attain spiritual prosperity. So Yudhishthira Maharaj did not simply want to preach to the people. He wanted to show to the world how by devotional service to Krishna, one can attain material prosperity and spiritual prosperity. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada was with Krishna in Vrindavan, but his heart was pained by the sufferings of the people of the world, and he wanted to show to the people. Not only he wanted to preach to the people by writing his books, but he wanted to show to the people how by rendering devotional service to Krishna, one can actually water the root of the tree, one can actually attain both material prosperity and also attain spiritual prosperity. So Prabhupada writes in the third canto in regards to Uddhava, when Krishna actually disappeared from this world, Krishna told Uddhava to stay in this world and to give his confidential message to the sages of Badrikashram. So Prabhupada says that Uddhava, he was actually he was more eager to execute the instructions of Lord Krishna than to go back to the spiritual world. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he was in Vrindavan, the abode of Krishna, but he was more eager to execute the instructions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur than to stay in Vrindavan. In this way, Srila Prabhupada exhibited so many qualities. So I'm just grateful for your patient hearing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.
Thank you, Radhikavala Prabhu. And before Radhesham Prabhu makes his offering, I would like to request Kishori Mataji, if she's here, kindly be ready.
Hare Krishna. Namahamishapadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshitaya. Today is the day the world became bereft of the great jewel like Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada, who within such a short span of 12 years created a great miracle all across the globe. So many things could be said about Srila Prabhupada. For me, I value Prabhupada for offering the most precious jewel of Rahasyam. The word Rahasyam that is used in the Bhagavad Gita also and Srimad Bhagavatam also. While telling the names of the Dvadasha Mahajanas, Yamaraj says, beginning with that verse, Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahalado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vayasakirvayam. And then he says, Dvadashayete Vijanimo Dharman Bhagavatan Bhataha Guhyam Vishuddham Durbodham Yajnatva Amritamashnute. The meaning of this verse is, Dvadashayete Vijanimo, I know these 12 personalities as the propagators of Bhagavata Dharma, he says. And such a Bhagavata Dharma is Guhyam, which means Rahasyam, he says. So, what is so special about this Rahasyam? That is very important to understand. You see, any true religion teaches clearly there is a difference between churchianity and Christianity. There is a difference between religiosity and spirituality. There is a difference between pious materialism and true spirituality. Just like Annapakshi knows how to separate the milk from the water. Similarly, any true great acharya can get the true principles of any religion out, which is actually the Rahasya Tattvam. And what is it? Because Prabhupada captured it, the whole world could understand his language. Prabhupada taught the real problem of the suffering living entity is his wrong attitude towards Krishna. The jiva right now has a diseased attitude of rebellion towards God. And when he learns to love God, then his disease will be gone. And that is the true language of the soul. Because all the scriptures are like a love letter of God for the living entity. As it is said, Maya Mugdha Jivarana Hing Swata Krishna Gyan Ateva Krishna Kaila Veda Puran. The Veda Puran are all given by Krishna for the diseased living entity who is suffering. So Krishna has sent us this love letter, but somebody has to gradually, very carefully hand it over to us. Just like the Brahmana who gave the letter of Rukmini to Krishna and brought the message of Krishna to Rukmini. And Rukmini chose a very proper Brahmana who will not do any meddling work in between. Similarly, the Acharya, true Acharya is one who acts as a transparent representative of Krishna to deliver this Rahasyam to the living entities like us. So Srila Prabhupada taught this. You see, in every religion you find this. Like in Bible, there is a story of proud Pharisee and poor publican. This proud Pharisee was a millionaire who came to a church, went in front of God and proclaimed to him, "My dear God, I am giving you a big donation in your hundi box. And probably I don't think anybody else will be giving so much money like the way I give. And I have been visiting your church so many times in a week." So he went on and on and on, going on, proclaiming his own glories in front of God. Which means he was basically enacting a movie directed by himself, acted by himself for the pleasure of God. So the story in Bible says, God did not take notice of his self-proclamation of his own glories. On the other hand, in the end of the church, in one corner, there was one poor publican who was bowing down. He was striking his breast, telling God, "I am a great sinner. I have no qualities to come and stand in front of you. Still, I have come to your temple because I have no other shelter other than you. Please kindly forgive me. Please kindly accept me." So Jesus was telling. So two people entered the church, but God heard only one prayer, he said. And whose prayer he heard? The poor publican's prayer. So, in this way you will find, in any religion you read, it actually talks about the core spirituality, which is actually to reconnect our relationship with God, to awaken our love for God. Like we hear about the story of Brahmin and cobbler. So Brahmin represents empty superficial ritualism. On the other hand, the cobbler's love for Narayana, God. That is actually true essence of religion. So Prabhupada brought that essence out exactly as the Goswamis did. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipunau Sadharma Samsthapakau. But the Goswamis have written everything in Sanskrit and they have gone. Now, how many of us have direct access to those Sanskrit literatures? You read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Goswamis, everything is in Sanskrit. So the world was bereft of this wonderful research done by the Goswamis from all the scriptures, and they are giving the essence to us, which is Rahasyam. But we were not having access, but Prabhupada gave us the access through his writings. So Sridhara Swami tells, what is this Rahasyam? iti rahasyatvat swamukhenaiva bhagavata. That rahasyam is spoken by Bhagavan himself with his own mukham. Swamukhenaiva bhagavata. And then he says, vidushama vipumsam. Even a fool should be able to understand this, he says. Even a person who is not very learned in Sanskrit can understand this rahasyam if it is taught properly. And then he says, anjaha sukhenaiva atmalabdhaye. Very easily one can apply it in one's life. It's not difficult. Just like Maharaj was telling the other day about the Subuddhi Rai, he was given many difficult procedures by many people on how to drink hot ghee and everything, or chant so many Vedic mantras, or give a golden cat in charity to a Brahmana. So many things people give in India, procedures. Whereas the Bhagavata Dharma is very anjaha, it's very easily performed, sukhe naiva, joyfully performed also. Susukam kartam. And then he says, atmalabdhi, one can achieve self-realization and relationship with God very, very easily. So this is rahasyam. So this rahasyam is given by 12 people, which is the Dvadashayete Vijanimo Dharman Bhagavatan Bhatahat. Yamaraj so told this. And then once Prabhupada said, these 12 are not only the Mahajanas. Anybody who follows in the footsteps of these Mahajanas will also become a Mahajan. So one disciple told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, that means you are the 13th Mahajan. And Prabhupada said, you are the 14th. He said, because if you follow the Mahajanas, then you also become a Mahajana. And we have to give this knowledge transparently as it is given by the Mahajanas. So, what is that rahasyam? That is explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita also. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told Arjuna, like one boy, I was asking him, he said, I have read 4 or 5 Bhagavad Gitas. I asked him, what is the message of Bhagavad Gita? So he said, yate chasi tatakuru, he said. Jo karna karlo jivan mein, bas, ohi sara. Bhagavan kud bola, Lord is himself saying, yate chasi tatakuru, he said. Then I told him, vimarshaitat asheshena yate ichasi tatakuru. See, vimarshaitat is saying, you analyze till now what I have given you from chapter 1 to chapter 18 now, and then you come to the right conclusion, whatever you want to do, you do. And still Arjuna was blinking, was watching like this, you know, even after hearing so much. And Krishna said, don't blink, don't speculate, I will tell you now what to do. And then Krishna told him, sarvaguhya tamam bhuyah shrinume paramam vachah ishtosime dridamiti idam bakshyami tehitam. Hey Arjun, I am going to give you the topmost secret, sarvaguhya tamam bhuyah, the topmost rahasyam I am going to tell you now. Pay attention, he is saying. Shrinu me paramam bachaka, supreme instruction I am giving you. And then he is saying, ishtosi me, you are very, very dear to me. And for your hit, your benefit, I am telling you. So all these things Krishna told him to prepare Arjuna to attentively listen. And subsequent verse he told him, man mana bhava madbhakto madhyaji imam namaskuru. Second time, verbatim, Krishna repeats what he earlier told in 9.34. Now he is repeating now. And Prabhupada took this secret and expanded the whole ISKCON movement. Manmana. Krishna says, think of me. And Prabhupada taught us how to chant Hare Krishna to think of Krishna. Mama Madbhakto. How to become Krishna's devotee. Madhyaji. How to worship Krishna by establishing the deity form of the Lord. Mam Namaskuru. How to offer regular obeisances to Krishna every day. By bowing down our head at the lotus feet of Krishna, our pride will be diminished gradually, and one day we will attain service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So, this is actually the rahasyam, after which Sarvadharman Parijyati Mamekam Sharanam Bhaja Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So, Vaishnava Acharya means one who with great clarity gives this rahasyam without any adulteration, without any mixing it up with anything. Just like sometimes you go to your shop, it's written, Shuddha Gise Banaya Hua Laddu, 25 rupiah, 25 rupees. Neighborhood shop is selling, they don't write anything on the board, Laddu, 5 rupees. So you know very well, what is that 5 rupee Laddu? They made it with recycled oil, 20 times recycled. If you eat that Laddu, your throat will be gone. So Prabhupada gave this Shuddha Krishna Shiksha, Shuddha Krishna Bhakti, and that is the Rahasyam. So what is the benefit of getting this Rahasyam in our life? We can come directly in touch with Krishna. So one can experience Krishna everywhere, every time, at every moment. One can experience. And that also Prabhupada taught, how to learn to see Krishna's hand at every moment. Just like Prabhupada went to New Vrindavan, he saw some trees were completely shaven up. In a certain season, you find all the leaves are fallen away, isn't it? Which season is it? Autumn season, all the leaves are fallen. So Prabhupada took his stick and showed, just see, the tree is totally shaven up now. And then Prabhupada said, you wait for a few months, again the leaves will come. This is Krishna's magic, Prabhupada said. Scientists only know to destroy people, they cannot give life again. Whereas Prabhupada said, when Krishna shaves up the tree completely and again he gives leaves again, he said. Similarly, Prabhupada one day saw some devotees were taking some bananas and removing the cover, taking some oranges and removing the cover. So Prabhupada said, just see Krishna, how wonderful he is. You know, he has created a cover which you remove and give it to cows, and you eat the fruit and cow eats the cover. And after eating the cover of the fruit, cow gives milk. See, there is no wastage. This is Krishna's magic. So Prabhupada was very down to earth, very, very practical. As I have been reading through Prabhupada's conversations and Prabhupada's lectures, I found them so enlightening and so practical. One of the sections was Jambavan speaking to Lord Krishna. See, Krishna book is a summary study that Prabhupada gave. Along with the sweet pastimes of Krishna, Prabhupada also gives very valuable and important philosophy to us. So Jambavan is telling Krishna, my dear Lord, the scientists are very proud of their inventions, but they do not know who gave them the brain. You are the giver of brain to the scientists who invent so many things. But the foolish people of the world are glorifying the inventors of so many inventions, but you are the one who has given them the brain. So Einstein got his brain from Krishna only. So another place Prabhupada says, people read books about Hitler who killed millions of people, but we suggest them to read the book about a person who killed Hitler. And who is that? That's Krishna. So Prabhupada in that section says, Jambavan is telling Krishna, my dear Lord, you have given me the brain, you have given me the senses which I use, you have given me the 24 elements with which people take it and they process it and they invent so many things. Ultimately, you are supplying everything. You own everything. And how can I take any credit for doing anything? Everything belongs to you. So in this way, Prabhupada helps us to see Krishna's hand in a very simple manner. Whenever he would go for a morning walk, he would come up with such simple things through nature. How to see Krishna through nature? So in one place Prabhupada says, look at the sun. It's a hot eye of Krishna. Look at the moon. It's cool eye of Krishna. So the hot eye is producing rains, grasses, vegetables, fruits, cereals, everything. Even some non-vegetarians may say that we don't take, we don't need the sun because we don't eat vegetables. But then they are eating animals who in turn eat vegetables and fruits and everything. So in this way, how to see Krishna's two eyes are completely maintaining all 8.4 million species of life. Not only Krishna is giving the vegetables, fruits, cereals, everything. If they didn't have any juices, will we be able to eat them? So through the moon, he is supplying the juice. And if somebody overeats, then there is also jadi buti, the medicines. Pushnamicha, aushadi sarva. Aushadi is also sent by Krishna. He is giving that also. So Prabhupada, taking the verses of Bhagavad Gita, he would show the devotees on a very practical level to see Krishna's hand in the nature. How we are every moment dependent on Krishna for our breathing the air, drinking water. There is not a single moment one can live without Krishna. So, in this way, Prabhupada teaches through his Bhaktivedanta purports and conversations very, very down to earth, simple things, seeing the hand of Krishna in every walk of life. And also, Prabhupada, when he went to the West, when he was in the storefront, matchless gift storefront, he had a great difficulty to reach the message to people. Why? There were so many disturbances. Sometimes there would be dogs would be barking outside. Sometimes there would be children screaming and making sounds. And the boys and girls who came for the program would be turning around, getting distracted. Prabhupada was wondering, how can I tell them the sublime message I have brought with me? So sometimes they would turn around and see what is the noise, and there was a car passing by, you know, on the road. Prabhupada said, just as all of you saw the car now, few minutes before you didn't see it, now you saw it, now it has, you know, disappeared from your sight. That doesn't mean car doesn't exist. Similarly, Krishna comes in this world, performs his leela, and he disappears. That doesn't mean Krishna doesn't exist. Krishna is existing eternally. Like this, Prabhupada would take some instance and immediately bring out a Krishna conscious lesson through that. One day when he was giving a lecture, some hippie entered inside making disturbance, and Prabhupada said, sit down, we are giving a class now. And the hippie was making noise. And then the hippie went to the bathroom and saw there was no roll of tissue paper. So he went and brought some tissue papers. And Prabhupada said, just see, even a hippie wants to render service. Even in his deranged mind, even when he is drunk. So Prabhupada could see seva bhav in that drunken hippie who was bringing some rolls of tissue paper to be put there. So this is the acharya who can see the spark of bhakti bhav even in somebody who is so camouflaged with so many impurities and superficially covering impurities. He was looking for that spark of bhakti in everybody, which is actually rahasyam. The deepest secret in the heart of soul. So love of Krishna by the jiva and love for the jiva that Krishna has is actually the sum and substance of true bona fide religion, which Prabhupada taught in a very lucid manner like this through simple incidents. So he brought the shastric message in a easy to digest way. So in summary, one message that I want to leave behind today for all of us and myself too is, let us not meddle with what Prabhupada has given us. Prabhupada has given us such a transparent and clear message which can directly go to the heart of the living entities and awaken love for Krishna, and it has already done. Kirata hunandre pulinda pulkasha avirashumbha yavana kashadaya ye annecha papa yadapashraya ashrayaha Shudyanti tasmai Prabhu Vishnave namaha. This verse is about Prabhupada only. This verse says how Acharya can deliver all classes of people all over the globe. So the Bhagavatam sometimes gives indirect indication to the future Acharya who will come and do this. In the Bhavishya Purana, there is a mention about how Bhakti Mata will leave India, Bharat, and she will go to the Videsham. Videsham Gachami, like that she is telling. I will go to foreign countries and I will spread all over foreign countries and then I will return back to India. Like that she is telling. Her two sons are Jnana and Vairagya. Both had become very weak. And then later on Satish Kumara spoke Bhagavatam to her. And then they became very nourished also on the request of Narada. Then she says, I will go abroad and come. And that is also a future prediction about Prabhupada going abroad, given in the scriptures, we can see. All the holy rivers went to Krishna when Krishna was about to depart to the spiritual world. And they all cried. They said, my dear Lord, the bhumi was decorated with your lotus glowing footprints till now. We were all very happy. Now that you are returning to your abode, the Kali Yuga is going to start. And all sinful people will come and take bath in us and they will render us all blackish and poisonous and sinful. We don't want to be in this world. So Krishna smiled and said, do not worry. Very soon as Kali Yuga progresses, the Bhakti Mata will go out of India to foreign land and she will spread all over the world, and then many, many great bhaktas, Hari bhaktas will come from foreign land into India. They will come. The whole world, instead of four varnas, will become Yekavarna. That will be Hari bhaktas. and they will come, and when they come to India, they will come and take a bath in the holy rivers, and then they will nullify all the sinful reactions that are deposited in you by many sinful people. Like that Krishna told them. And that fact that Krishna spoke long before, 5,000 years ago, Prabhupada has made it true now. He has gone abroad and spread the holy name all over the world, spreaded it, and now Hari Bhaktas all over the world are coming into India, as Vishwaroopa Prabhu rightly said, and they are actually waking up the sleeping India, India whose true spiritual heritage was long forgotten before. So we have to grasp what Srila Prabhupada is giving through his purports, the essence that he is offering us, and we have to keep the purity of the content what he is offering, and we should deliver it to whomever we come across, and if we do so, it will surely awaken bhakti in the hearts of many, many more hundreds and thousands of souls in their lives. And if the reason I brought out this point today, nowadays there are many new age movements coming in the surface of the globe, and there are so many people who want to offer material solutions for the problem of the jiva. The problem of the jiva is only one thing. His disease is he doesn't want to surrender to Krishna. The moment he surrenders, finished. Problem solved. And that Prabhupada gave. But there are many people who are telling them, I will tell you something else other than surrendering to Krishna, come here. There are so many movements are cropping up on the surface of the globe. With a desire to increase our number and quantity, let us not dilute the pure message, that the rahasyam that Prabhupada has very carefully handed over in Parampara to us through his Bhaktivedanta purports. Prabhupada learned it in Parampara, he lived it, and he has left behind a legacy. Let us hold on to this legacy and propagate it further. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki.
Is Kishori Mataji here? I'd like to request Acharya Ratna Prabhu to kindly come forward and make his offering. Meanwhile, Adi Keshav Prabhu, kindly be ready. We have Pushpanjali at around 12, and we have about 10 more devotees whose name is on the list. So I'd like to request people, devotees, to be a little brief. Take as much time as you want. Don't go beyond 5 minutes.
Namah Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitnami. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharini, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashyanta Deshatarini. Once Srila Prabhupada had gone to Australia, when he came at the airport, Melbourne, one reporter asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, why did you leave India and come to Australia here? So, what you want to take from here? What are you interested in? So, Prabhupada immediately said, actually, I have come here to save you from cats and dogs' life. So, next day, on the newspaper headlines, Swami has come to save us from cats and dogs' life. Actually, I was thinking it was not that Prabhupada just came to save Australians from cats and dogs' life, but actually we can see he has come to save all of us, even Indians, even so-called born in Brahmin family or no, so-called born in holiest of the holy places. Right now what people are doing with their life is very unfortunate, and when we look, it's very painful to see. But it's a great fortune that Prabhupada has come us here to deliver us from this unfortunate life. Prabhupada writes in Srimad Bhagavat some purport that Krishna consciousness will go down the history for having saved the world at the darkest hour. And as we see, time is passing, more and more darker hours are coming, and only hope is Srila Prabhupada's teachings, Srila Prabhupada's society, Srila Prabhupada's devotees, Srila Prabhupada's books. Another time Srila Prabhupada, when he arrived at London, some reporters came there. And one of the reporters very sarcastically asked, Swamiji, why in your fag end of life you have come to London? General people come to London when they are young, to earn money, to loot material appliances. So Prabhupada told, my dear sir, you Britishers, you are very proud of all of your wealth. But unfortunately, this all wealth is all looted from India only. You came to India, looted all the wealth. But unfortunately, you forgot to loot the greatest wealth of India. That is wealth of Vedic wisdom, wealth of Srimad Bhagavatam, wealth of Bhagavad Gita. So I have come here to give this great wealth which you forgot to loot. So Prabhupada is so kind and compassionate. Everybody wants to loot, but people don't know what to loot. So he is kindly teaching us what to loot. And he has brought all of us here at the holiest place, here at Govardhan, and compelling us to loot the mercy which Krishna is bestowing in this holy dham of Vrindavan, Govardhan. Had Prabhupada not been there, where would we be and what would we be looting? So we will deeply grateful to Prabhupada to give us right objects for right things. In 1956, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to then President of India. He said, don't consider me madman, or don't consider something, it's something wonderful when I say, after leaving this body, I am going back home, back to Godhead. So he said, it is possible for each one and every one of us to go back home, back to Godhead in this very lifetime. And to take all the men and women of this world back home, back to Godhead, I have started this magazine, Back to Godhead. So Prabhupada had so much faith and conviction. He had a faith not only that God exists, he had faith that Krishna is God. Many people ask whether there is spiritual world or not. There, Prabhupada had so much faith about existence in spiritual world. And even after knowing God, even after developing faith in spiritual world, when we think about going back home, back to God, we feel like it's next to impossible. Maybe not in this lifetime, you know. But actually Prabhupada has come and is telling that he has come to take each one of us back home, back to God in this very lifetime. A few years back I was fortunate to be there in Mayapur when one of Srila Prabhupada's very humble, sincere, wonderful disciples was leaving his body. So in the morning when I was in Mayapur, announcement was made by Janivas Prabhu that Grahila Prabhu is in his final stage. So all devotees are requested to pray for him, and those who are interested, they can visit his home and chant for him. So then after the morning program, after chanting at around 7 o'clock, I thought, let me go and be there to chant with him. So around 7:15 I went. We are searching his home. Finally we came. So when we are going through the Grahastha area, we started hearing loud kirtans. So just we started following the direction of the kirtans, and then we could reach the place. And I saw that so many devotees were there, very intensely chanting, so many Prabhupada disciples. And this Grahila Prabhu was lying on the bed. So all of a sudden he got up. He looked around. He asked something to his wife who was serving. Some devotees were massaging his feet. Then I requested the devotee, can I massage his feet? So I was massaging his feet. Then Vallabh Chatpuru came, he said, I also want to massage. So both of us, saffron devotees, you know, we are massaging feet of Grahila Prabhu. And he was looking very happy, satisfied, contented. And he looked around and then he looked at very intensely at beautiful pictures of Shishir Radha Madhav. And devotees were doing kirtans. And when very intense kirtans were going on, looking at Radha Madhav, just he one moment just left. And as soon as he looked, there were so huge kirtans. And everybody was started chanting, Jai, Jai! He has gone back home, back to Godhead. And they were doing, you know, so intense kirtans. And they were shouting. And you know, and there they had a very beautiful picture of Garuda. And thermocol, Garuda, and you know, taking a person back home, back to Godhead. You know? And when I heard this loud chanting and joyful roars, I was just amazed. I never imagined such a thing. Earlier, death means is a very morosful, like death, very unfortunate, no? Painful. But this was such an amazing experience to me. And I was, you know, it's like unbelievable. Devotees were happy and doing such a great celebration. And they had so much faith that Grahila Prabhu went back home, back to Godhead. And then Janivas Prabhu calculated time and he said, actually, this is time when Krishna goes out for herding the cows. So Grahila Prabhu has entered the coward pastimes of Krishna. So today is Prabhupada Disappearance Day. So he is not an ordinary person. He has come to take all of us back home, back to Godhead. And this is very amazing. But every time I read book of Prabhupada, every page almost is speaking same thing. Every lecture is speaking same thing. And all devotees. So, it's such an amazing gift Prabhupada is giving. And I saw the same thing in case of my father also. When my father was in final days, it was such an amazing good fortune that by some inconceivable arrangement he came to Vrindavan. And I saw hundreds and thousands of devotees praying for him, chanting for him. Also, I saw so many sannyasis and maharajas praying for him. So, one day before his departure, Giriraj Maharaj called from America and for 15 minutes chanted in his ears, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Later on, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj called from America and he also chanted for him and he was telling how fortunate you are in Vrindavan, and you know, and he was telling the glories of Vrindavan, glories of Radha Krishna pastimes, and he was telling you, forget now everything else and just focus, your life is perfect, just focus on hearing the holy names. And then later on, I saw he also departed in immense devotees in holy dham in Kartik month. So, it's such an unbelievable great fortune Prabhupada is bestowing to each one of us. I don't have any words to express the gratitude. However, Bhakti Chaur Maharaj, many times he repeats to devotees that on Prabhupada Disappearance Days that he said that we should follow these three instructions of Prabhupada to express our gratitude. First is, never ever leave ISKCON. It's a boat. If you just hold on to it, we can cross over this ocean of birth and death and go back, come back to Godhead. Second, he says that accept the GBC as ultimate managing authority. And third, you can show your love to Prabhupada by how you cooperate with each other. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you, Acharya Prabhu. Adikeshu Prabhu, is he ready? Before Adikeshu Prabhu makes his offering, I would like to request His Grace Tapas Prabhu, please be ready.
We have been hearing for last several years, every year. The more we hear about Srila Prabhupada, the more he becomes bigger and bigger to our vision. It's very difficult to understand that how did he do that? Inconceivable. No doubt that he is the greatest spiritual revolutionary in modern history. Radha Gopinath Prabhu was trying to compare him with Agastya Muni, Rishi. He was saying about that how a Rishi should have concern and conviction and compassion. So I was inspired, yes, Prabhupada had also these three things which I taught of. He had faith in his Guru Maharaj's instruction. He had always opportunity to come back. It was not successful, he could have come back, I tried. But he had full faith that Guru has said it, it has to happen. Second, he had full faith in the power of holy name. He said that is the holy name. Whenever he was asked, he says the holy name. That is the one which changed people's heart. Third thing, he had that clear vision, conviction, what you can. He can see in everyone that spark. He saw that potential that everyone had a scope to develop love for God. He was very accommodating, so he involved everyone. So, I just wanted to talk about something which Prabhupada, before he established ISKCON, he took sannyas in 1959. How clear and confident he was about what he is going to do. So you know that after he took sannyas, that is the first time he took class in English. And he had already prepared a few volumes in translated in English. Then one day he was sitting there in Keshav Math, Mathura. Those who have gone there, you will see that there is a rooftop. And Prabhupada with his god brother in Gamcha, he was sitting in the afternoon and taking chapati. So usually these mutt visitors, they come. You know, they come and go and see here, inside, out, then they climb up first or second. So one person came up to the terrace. And he came, he saw, obviously there was nothing interesting for him. Two old people are sitting here and chapati. So he turned his back and went away. So Prabhupada is telling his god brother, look, this man thinks that two old people are sitting here and eating chapatis. He doesn't know that there is one person, he has the future of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. This was his clear conviction that he is going to do it. Just in short about what happened, few things about, you know that casually he had told one of his friend, why don't you tell your son to sponsor me? And he had forgotten. Prabhupada had forgotten about it. And after 2 months, he said, my son Gopal Agarwal has sent a sponsorship letter. So that was the beginning. Prabhupada took that, and you know that he got the permission to go in Jaladuta, he got the visa, but there is one thing still left, the P form. So the P form, when he applied, he got a call that we can't send you. Why? Because his sponsorship is only for 1 month. And the one who is sponsoring is an individual. It is not an institute. If an institute sponsors, we can go. So what have you decided, Prabhupada? I said that I can't allow you, it is rejected. Prabhupada said, don't do that. Go to your higher official. Some or other that higher official, he accepted it. He said, Swamiji, you can go. Now don't forget that this sponsorship is only for 1 month. So after he reached there, 1 month got over. So he had to go to the immigration office. So the officer, he asked, he has to extend it. Swamiji, how many more days you want to stay here? And Prabhupada starts laughing. Prabhupada himself is laughing. This person is asking me that how many more days you want to stay here? So Prabhupada started calculating. How much money do I have now? This much can pay the rent. And this much is what he's asking for. He had to pay $5 or $10 to extend. So 1 more month got extended. After 1 month, again he went for extension. Again he went for extension. Then 1 year got over. That time he said, finish. Now we can't give you any extension. It is over. But that time he had few disciples. And they are the one who paid $150 and extended his stay. And the rest, you know, is history. You all heard about what happened. So many of them spoke about Prabhupada's multitasking, skills, qualities. But this is how was the beginning. It is very appropriate that we are in Govardhan. Of course, it's all Prabhupada's mercy. We don't know it's Govardhan mountain, what it signifies. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis are glorifying Govardhan. Why? They are going, he is the best of all servants. Why is the best of all servants? Because he is giving everything. Krishna and coward boys are stepping on him. And he gives everything what is there is for their pleasure. It so happened that once, of course, ISKCON was well established. Prabhupada was fairly successful. Everything was going on. One day, Prabhupada was sitting behind his desk. And one of his very dear disciples, she was trying to put some painting. So she asked Prabhupada, can I step on your desk to put this painting? So Prabhupada said, to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, you can step on my head. So this is how Prabhupada gave everything, as we heard yesterday Maharaj speaking about how Prabhupada wanted to die on the battlefield. I was thinking, what exactly, you know, die on the battlefield? What battle is going on? So yesterday, Maharaj was explaining about it, how Prabhupada was fighting a battle. He was fighting a battle within everyone's heart by writing books, by giving all those devotional services, establishing temples. So this was a fight going on and he wanted to die on the battlefield, which we heard yesterday, that how at the time when he was to leave this body, he was still holding. Hardly you could speak. Of course, we know that books are still there and the fight is going on. The war is going on. Prabhupada physically may not be visible as a general, but it is going on. So Prabhupada has left behind this legacy to all of us. Prabhupada once said, ISKCON is my body. So we very easily come to ISKCON and we say that, well, now I am a ISKCON follower. Now this is something we should be asking. How am I representing ISKCON? My God, it's a little very scary, isn't it? To say that, you know, I'm representing ISKCON. What standards Prabhupada laid down and what is expected? How do we behave? How we deal with others? How does the society see us? It's a great responsibility. So well, on this day, it's a very, very holy day in a very holy place. What can I ask for? You know, just pray for strength. That how can I overcome my laziness? Of course, there are unlimited things we can ask for, but at least to begin with, ask, Prabhupada, please help me overcome my laziness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki!
Thank you, Adikesha Prabhu. And before Tapas Prabhu makes his offering, I would like to request His Grace Yugal Kishore Prabhu, please be ready.
So, dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances on this auspicious day of your disappearance. I was recently speaking with one devotee who is on a mission to, is studying Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teachings, and he said that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he made a statement that unless one enters an existential crisis, one cannot really take up spiritual life. seriously. So I was fortunate to, at one point in life, to experience such a crisis, which is spiritually fortunate, but from the material point of view, it's a terrible, terrible thing, especially if it lasts over a few years. One would be very inclined to run away from such a escape, like Arjuna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. So, I started searching, and I read one book which described a relationship between a living relationship between some kind of guru and disciple. For those who are from the 70s, this was Carlos Castaneda and Don Juan. Those who know that, those were very famous books at that time. And I remember I was desperately desiring to have a guru. I come from a country where to have a guru is not part of the culture at all. But and I was even getting so far, just like Radhanath Maharaj, to embark on a journey, travel, leave home, go out in the world to find a guru. But somehow it didn't happen. I guess Krishna understood I wouldn't be able to complete such a journey. I would probably run home after Istanbul. The experience Radhanath Maharaj had in Istanbul. Run home to mama. But the reason actually was that, yeah, in Kali Yuga, most people, they don't, you know, tasmad, gurum, prapadyate, ayiyasasaya, utama. When you're a human being, you're supposed to search a guru. But in Kali Yuga, who searches a guru? Who comes on that idea? Very, very few. And of those who search, most are cheated. This is the age of hypocrisy. So, like Jagaya and Madai Prabhupada said, this is the typical examples of Kali Yuga people. They were not searching for guru. But what was the solution? Lord Nityananda, he came to them. And Srila Prabhupada said, I was not invited. I was aggressive. I came to your country. Yeah, he was not invited. In the Bhagavatam, there are so many stories of those who feel so fortunate to actually find a guru. But in Kali, people don't know the value. So you, Srila Prabhupada, you, understanding that, you made that great, you came to us. Like, in my country, you were not personally visiting, like in your Vapu form, but you still came during the time when you were present on this planet, in your books, and you said you didn't, you were not so happy that the Macmillan Bhagavad Gitas were cut down and there was an abridged version. But a blind uncle is better than a no uncle. So these books entered my city in 1972 in the biggest bookstore there, and some interested people, they bought all the books at once from the bookstore, finish off the edition. And from there, some interest grew. There was no movement in my country. There was just some people who met you in the form of those books. And from those people, gradually, I later came in touch with one of them. And in 1981, it ended up, the movement appeared. So, so this is today is your disappearance day, but the most striking thing is, I feel as, because I didn't experience your disappearance in that sense, because I was not meeting you personally. I have only experienced the increasing appearance of your personality and your presence from day one. There was no movement in my country, but I had your books and I experienced your compassion, and that converted me. I know one thing is you take interest in Krishna consciousness, but there is a qualitative step when you get converted. And that happened when I experienced your compassion in your books. Even though I was so covered, so ignorant, so gone, still your compassion penetrated. So you knew this situation in the world, therefore you started your mission late, I mean the full mission, and you know you had very short time. And during that time, you make such a big endeavor to make sure that your presence, that you would be available after you left. And that big endeavor was the BBT, the books. He said, the best of you are in the books. The best of me is in my books, you said. That means the most strong presence of you is in your books. Then you said, I will live among my followers. So that's ISKCON. So you went through so much pain and so much sacrifice to make yourself available, because as Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Goswami's they were here in the past. The only resort is the dust of a Gaura Bhakta for the future in this Kali Yuga. So therefore your presence is just getting more and more prominent, and it will just go on. And thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for making this great endeavor, this great sacrifice, to arrange for your presence after your disappearance. And please help me to understand your mission and your audarya, your compassion, and your movement better, and whatever I understand, to be able to share this with others. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Tapas Prabhu. And I would like to request His Grace Yugal Kishore Prabhu to kindly come forward and make his offering.
Hare Krishna, I will not take much time because already devotees told me not to speak too much. Whenever I think of Prabhupada, what comes to my mind is determination, positive attitude, and of course that missionary spirit. Couple of things that came to my mind. 6 children, businessman, business failing, sometimes going up. He had to chant his rounds also. Still he found time. Actually, one of the 6 children, Prayagraj, was autistic. Prabhupada found time to write a 1200-page commentary on his Upanishad. Why? If people read, it will bring transformation. They'll get rid of their bad habits. They'll go back home, back to Godhead. So despite all these odds, he wrote 1200-page commentary on his Upanishad, did not have money to print it. He requested his friend, who requested Alagappa Chettiar to print this. Finally, his friend contacted this south of Birla and he agreed to print this book. So he called Prabhupada. Prabhupada said the book is, this book is in Allahabad, I'll go and send it. Imagine, if you know what happened, you can't even believe it. Prabhupada went all the way from Jhansi to Allahabad to find his manuscript, to get it printed. This was stolen. When I read it, I thought, I will never write another translation again. Did Prabhupada give it up? Never. Before Prabhupada came to America, somebody offered him a chance to go to Japan. Prabhupada was so happy. I'll go and I'll spread this message in Japan. What happened? He told them, I'm writing a book. This will bring transformation. And he picked up from Bhagavatam 10th Canto and he wrote this book. What all he needed was money to go to Japan. He begged practically, give me ticket. Nobody gave, including the former president of India. It started, this whole affair started in Jan, February, March, April, May. The date has come close. Swamiji did not have 3,500 rupees to go to Japan to present this Srimad Bhagavatam, the message of Bhagavatam. As he was watching, the boat left. Do you think he was depressed? Positive attitude means rising from ashes. Bhakti is simple, not easy. Finally, at the age of 70, he got the ticket. Prabhuji was explaining. If you really understand, if we really want to appreciate what Prabhupada has done, come to America. It's impossible. I've been living there for almost 13 years. Not even one American. 6 months. Where is the charisma when somebody is 70? 70 plus. But because his heart is imbued with compassion, because he cried in the wilderness for people that he never knew, never met, Krishna bestowed. 200 acts, seasickness, came to America, visa was expiring. He knew nobody. Unlike the other Indians, nobody garlanded. Nobody was in Boston waiting with garland. Today we'll cancel the program if only 3 people would come. That's what Prabhupada people would, 3 people would come to see Prabhupada in Second Avenue. What a positive attitude he had. See, the prediction of Haridas Thakur is true. People are coming. Why people are coming? To eat prasad. They were not coming to listen his lecture, which is heavily, you know, his accent was heavy Bengali accent. But Krishna bestows. David almost killed him. And his visa is expiring. Did he give up? Determination. Today we jump up and down dancing Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. But what he went through? The Swamiji did not have 25 paise coin to go from here to Delhi, then to go to Manohar Lal Jain. Because he did not have 25 paise, he would walk. Swamiji, did you take breakfast? It's all right. Swamiji was not a beggar. He got an opportunity to become equal to Birla once. So when he takes sannyas, he had to depend on Krishna. So he did not say, I'm struggling, hungry. Give me breakfast. It's all right. 65, 70-year-old man. Manohar Lal Jain says to his wife, give Swamiji some prasad. Before he went to America, he was begging. He got the ticket, he got the passport. No money. Sindhya shipping colony. He was staying. Somebody would ask. He has one umbrella. He would go morning and evening just to get some money. Swamiji, any luck today? India is changing. No money. 4 people, 10 rupees gave, 40 rupees. Bhakti is simple, not easy. But what is the perseverance he displayed? So then suddenly one day, founder Acharya, everyone in the world wants to wanted to meet him. But Krishna Balaram temple opening, thousands of people, OBL Kapoor, Nityananda Prabhu, his former friend. Once he was a professor, Prabhupada was a businessman, then it became everything nosedived. Prabhupada was a beggar. But today, all of a sudden, founder Acharya for International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Nityananda Prabhu was thinking, will Swamiji recognize me? He was standing in one corner. Swamiji ran, embraced him. Do you recognize me? Abhay Babu. So Prabhupada says, Krishna took everything from me and tested me. Then Krishna gave everything and tested me. By his mercy, I passed both the tests. Anyway, that is founder Acharya. They were revolutionary. He is the only one person in the history of the mankind who has promised to chant 16 rounds, follow four regulative principles. I'll take you back home, back to Godhead. Lord, nobody, these four sampradayas, no Acharya gave this promise. Lord Chaitanya, as far as I know, did not give that promise. Srila Prabhupada, he did. So, what is gratitude? Gratitude means, Acharya Ratan Prabhu is telling, quoting Girija Bhaktichara Swami. Gratitude, once Radhana Swami is telling, gratitude doesn't give bhakti, gratitude is bhakti. Then how do we express our gratitude? Yes, no matter what, my commitment to Prabhupada will not become dry. So, because of his causeless mercy, there may be so many acharyas today, but my life is changed by Prabhupada's mercy, causeless mercy. So let me be committed to him, hell or high water. It rains may come, sun may shine, problems may come or happiness may come. I will never deviate from Prabhupada's lotus feet. Then Prabhupada will definitely take us one day back home, back to Godhead. So let us be grateful. That is the only thing I can tell. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Yugal Kishore Prabhu.